edition of See You at the Show.
Welcome to See You at the Show.
We're both here.
This is Eric and Linda. And normally, right now, we would be playing little Moulin Rouge to get in the mood. And it is the song, The Show Must Go On. And that has been kind of the motto for, I don't know, I think when I first started playing that at the beginning of the show is just because I love that song and I love Moulin Rouge. And it also just was like, here comes the show. And then later, it became more of like a perseverance sort of a motto because, well, I guess mostly because of COVID and then because of various, I don't know, conflict and struggles in our own lives and in the theater scene locally, and just kept on kind of being like, the show must go on. This show kept going on. Theater kept happening through COVID and through quarantines and through masking and everything else.
And now different groups losing their theater space and so many things, just like throughout time. As long as theater has been around, there have been plagues and there have been theaters shut down and there have been all these things, but people still find a way.
Yeah, and I guess why we're not playing that song today is if you saw our Facebook post, we kind of announced today something that has been, we've been kind of dreading and but probably knowing what's coming, which is that this is our last show. And as we wrote, and it's been an amazing journey. We've in almost 4 years. The first show was in August of 2019. We actually reran it last week. I didn't really hype it up as like, hey, tune in to hear our very first show. But it wasn't bad, you know, when I listened to it. I did a pretty good job considering I didn't really know what I was doing. I had Chelsea Collier was here and Braden Wambach was here. And we were talking about Frankenstein. What was it? That's not really the name of it, though. Young
Frankenstein?
No, that was the movie that it was based on. Maybe that's what it was called.
That's horrible. I should look it up.
No, you weren't even there. You weren't not yet my co-host.
I wasn't here, but my eldest was in it.
It was a great eldest.
What's wrong with eldest?
Her name is Parker.
Right. I don't know. my kid was in it.
You always rank them.
Because, I mean, yeah, not anymore, because my kids haven't really been in the theater scene since COVID now. Mm-hmm. But it used to be that they would all three kind of get intermingled in people's minds. And so I'd have to be like, well, you know, especially, yeah, they would get confused and people would be like, oh, I saw you in this. And even they'd come up to the kids and say, I loved you and Fun Home, and then they'd have to be like, no, that was my brother. So
well, that is true. I guess, you know, Dima and Parker in their earlier years, and when I was only seeing them periodically and back and forth, I admit that I was also confused,
right,
between the two of them. And they're both incredible performers. And that was one of the things when I first met you at the station, that I felt almost like you were kind of a celebrity mom because you were Parker and Dima's mom. And I thought, what a cool person this must be who has brought these kind of like wonderful, talented people into the community. And then we had your whole family on as one of our early shows. We were sitting around a table at the Smith's house, friends of yours.
Yeah.
And we did kind of like it was an excuse to get to, you weren't not a co-host yet, I don't think, were you? Maybe that was, you were dabbling.
I was dabbling. You would have me on as a guest, I think, sometimes. I don't know if I was officially a co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But so anyway, I think I got a little bit sidetracked. But so for almost 4 years since that very first show with Chelsea and Braden, we have run shows every week. So that's almost 200. We know that we have had original shows of over 120 and so many guests. We started making a sheet and there have been hundreds and hundreds of guests. We've had people, we've had playwrights, directors, performers of so many different kinds of work, plays, musicals, and so many different sorts of, one of the great things about staying active in theater, things happening through COVID, was just watching kind of the evolution of these alternative ways of making shows. And then just last night you watched a kind of a Zoom cast of a performance. And I don't think it was made that way because of COVID. It was made that way because this is what Coalescence Theater has always done, is bring in performers that are not necessarily in the same place.
Right. And that was Jane, which we've talked about on this show before. But yeah, so it's even, and it's about abortion, and it's really pretty heavy. And in some ways, I was kind of glad that I was in my own home watching it on my computer. But then at the same time, nothing compares to being live in a space, seeing live theater.
Yeah. And so the number, you know what, I'm so into stats. I wish that, you know, if I would have known that, we didn't really even know if we would, like, this would be the finale. So
can we just applaud Eric a little bit here? Because he just drove in from Appleton, Wisconsin, like seriously 5 minutes before we went on the air. And I think this is one of the things, we've kind of known of each other and kind of been in each other's circles for years, right? You know, our kids have been in theater, our kids have been in shows together, but we really didn't connect. One of the things, once we started to get to know each other and becoming friends and things, that one of the things that really hit me about you was your commitment to theater and how much you just love it. Like, just genuinely have a passion for it, and you're willing to do almost anything for theater. And we're really, really lucky that you started the show, and everybody who's been a part of it is, we're lucky as co-hosts, but they're lucky that you started this. And it's really, really sad that it's ending, but I didn't want to keep doing it without you, and I didn't want to keep staying here without you. So we'll figure something out in Appleton, but our heart will always be here in Champaign-Urbana in the theater scene, and everybody we've met through the theater scene. And, I don't know if we'd be together without the show.
Right. I don't know either, but it's been, well, thank you for saying that. But I mean, I think when I have as much passion for something as I do for theater, you're right. I did want to make this happen. I did want to throw myself all the way into it. And the idea was, when it started, it was just, and it was called See You at the Show, and we had no idea what that would end up meaning, or I did. I just figured Champaign-Urbana Theater would be it, and then once you started working with me, I guess it was also mostly through COVID when we wanted to find more and more theater, but we ended up just making this thing big, big, big. We know so many more people. We know so many different theaters we've been to shows, okay, obviously in Champaign and Urbana, but we discovered, I think Danville was probably the first branch out when we went, and we started seeing Danville Lyric Opera, and then we and their little and the sidekick organization down the street, which is, I don't know why I said sidekick.
Right, I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, there's so much amazing theater in Danville that we had no idea. Like yeah, Red Mask.
And, Red Mask, and, right.
DLO and I mean, now I just can't think anything through because so, I'm so sorry. I need to just take a breath and start because there's just so much that like I want to say and I just can't believe this is the last one.
Yeah.
I'm not mentally prepared for this to be the last one for multiple reasons, but
right. Well, some successes that I think and I guess we're kind of reminiscing and it would be great if you've been a fan of the show or if you've listened to the show or if the show's been useful to you, we'd love to just hear from you on Facebook, like just for sentimentality's sake and to know we're not just speaking into a void. But what we've tried to do is just be a single place where somebody could come and tell and talk to the community about what their organization is doing. We're not, even when we were both board members of the Station Theater, we did not focus on the station any more than we focused on Parkland or than we focused on Twin City Theater Company or CUTC or the schools, the high schools and Champaign Park District. I mean, we just wanted to be, I use the word agnostic just because I always used to celebrate my own agnostic religiousness or lack thereof. But it just means everything across the board. We wanted to be as inclusive as we could. And that word took on a whole different meaning in 2020. And we did our part when we handed off the mic for the month of May in 2020 to Latrell Bright and other directors and performers of color. And we tried to continue that with our own influence within theater communities that we were part of and to use this venue and to use our website and our social media to try to make a little bit of a difference. And I think that the community as a whole is doing work still.
It's been an amazing ride. It's been great to see everybody grow. I mean, seeing some people actually grow up in the theater, you know, that were kids in the Park District Theater and then see them go to direct things or be in shows at the station. But also seeing the groups grow and become more aware and trying to get more people involved and be more diverse about the voices and the stories that are being told, but then our own growth. I feel like, I mean, I've loved theater since I can remember, but I feel like I've done things that I didn't think that I would ever do and felt comfortable doing them. You've done things that you didn't maybe think that you were going to do. You were in a musical recently, you know, a year ago. Was that a year ago?
Yeah, SpongeBob was going on. Well, we were just in rehearsals. We just started rehearsals right now because it was an April show, I think, or May, end of May.
So I just think, and this, what I've learned and what we've learned and what we've, how we've changed through this show, it's just something I can't even express completely how much it's changed me personally. So,
well, that's what theater has the power to do. I mean, I just think of all the times when, and we had, it was a real, it's always a great thing to see live theater with a crowd, but we also, and this was kind of, I guess, especially, I don't know, nice during COVID to have access to the early, the dress rehearsals, but to be, whether we were there and we're the only two people in the crowd or whether we're there in a full house and had to struggle to get seats, and there's just a lot of magic that happens, and especially when I've acted enough now that I really know everything that goes into a show, and you've done so much. That's why one of the reasons we're a great team to complement each other, because you've done so many other things that I had no knowledge of or appreciation about, like with like what really goes on with stage managing and with assisting and just all of the support players that are needed to do things. And I've seen also how valuable you are to, because anytime you throw your name in with a project, suddenly people are just like calling and texting you all hours of the day and night to ask you for more and more and more help, because you're a giver and giver and giver. And so, but anyway, we've gotten to see this, the curtain go up. And I think between the two of us and knowing everything that goes into a production of even that most seem like might seem like the most simple show, those people have been contemplating this show for months, been rehearsing it dozens and dozens of times, and going home and crying and worrying and practicing in front of a mirror and finding people to run lines with, and struggling to find people who will volunteer their time for costumes and makeup and hair. And this is just everything that goes into a performance of any kind. And so there's a lot of beauty in just knowing how much work goes into it. That's for sure. And I've come to appreciate that a lot more, knowing you and also listening to you when you've done the show without me. I learn a lot more. And so I think this will be a void. It'll definitely be a void in my life. I hope it doesn't mean we see less theater. We're going to be in a different place, seeing different shows. And
we'll be back and we'll see more.
We'll probably see you shows than your average person will see, for sure.
Right.
And also we will definitely, we've got some tools in place with our seeyouattheshow.com website and our See You at the Show Facebook page. And maybe we will actually, we could still be an amazing asset for the community. We can do those things even better, knowing that we're not just getting on the radio every week. We can really, we've got connections now to so many different theater groups, probably 15 or 16 of them throughout the area. And
we still want to promote them, and we still like being a place where people can go, you know, I've got some time, I want to see some theater, what's going on this week? And they can go to our website and just see what's going on. And I still want to be that as much as we possibly can. We're still very, very connected to the Champaign-Urbana area. We still love the theater here, and we're still going to see as much of it as we can. And it'll be fun seeing theater in Wisconsin and see how that's different. And maybe we'll do some, I don't know, maybe we'll get more involved up there. But right now we just kind of have to know when to stop and know that we can't do the show the way we want to do it.
Yeah. Which is like this, which is being in the room together. You know, we did get through, we became, you know, we had a great editor and your daughter Parker, mm-hmm. Getting to help us figure out how to do Zoom shows, or even when we were live, but we had to pre-record guests, and we just always made it work. And this has been really special, but having to run reruns and having to just be having you be alone here, it's not worth it to keep this going.
And I just wasn't able. I mean, I could have still seen. I wasn't able to see the shows that I need to see. I've got to be there for my family now, which includes you. And I just couldn't be at all these shows and do it justice.
Yeah.
But people should. So there is going to be a void. I'm hoping that we were something that people want to see. And I encourage some of our listeners, you know, if you're interested, Weft is here. And we're ending this show, but there should be another show about theater or a podcast about theater locally. Totally encourage and would help any way we can to support somebody creating something new.
Yeah. You'd have to come up with a different name, though. I'm not giving that up.
Right.
Registered trademark.
Right.
No, I don't know. Whatever. And I guess there are, one of the things that would be great to see, and if there's any sort of a legacy, is to see, you know, continued sort of cooperative efforts between the theaters. And
which
we do
I think
that,
is
like,
already there.
Yeah,
I mean, now so, even... You know what I'm so excited about is that we produced a show. I mean, because I have a longstanding love of the IMC, the Independent Media Center in Urbana. And so we produced Fireflies there. And that was one of the first full-length plays that they... Well, I mean... that was produced and just done there. June had also done part of the run for Machinal there too. Machinal. I never say that right.
Yeah, I think Mosh is the way I do it.
Machinal. And so, and there've been other like play type things there, but I think that really opened the doors for theater groups to go, okay, wait, this is a viable space. This can be used. And got different people into that space from different walks of life. And that's what the IMC is about. And that's what we're about. And I'm so excited that it looks like
Twin Cities moving in there. I think, and I think we were the proof of concept.
Right.
Yeah, we got the idea from I saw Machinal there, and they basically brought over what they'd set up at Parkland, and they did two shows at IMC and proved it could be done. But we did we just did a show. And it was two.
And they were great to work with. And
it was basically two producers, two actor directors, and God, I'm proud of what we did.
Yeah.
And that actually makes me sad all over again, because that would have really been an incredible thing instead of kind of being the climax to be the launching pad of something. And
right.
We did it. I mean, we did it. And we did the CU Show Globes again, another thing that I thought would have been, it was in January of 2020, when we did the Show Globes celebrating the Champaign-Urbana Theater scene of 2019, which was basically the first year of CU at the show. And we had a really cool event that brought together people. And yeah, we did it under the context of awards, and everybody's so afraid, and you were the most afraid.
I'm not afraid. I have mixed feelings about awards.
I know, but okay.
It's just because CUTC just had their annual, they've been having an annual awards ceremony every year for I don't know, maybe as long as CUTC's been around. So that's part of my
okay.
But then I felt like the Show Globes ended up, to your credit, being something different.
Well, right. Okay. And I think, but that is, okay, so compare those two things. Those two things will, and I really don't care. I'm only going to be on there for six more minutes in this town. That, what we did was what could be with theater in this area, and what they did was what has always been in that area. They celebrated themselves.
Yes.
And we were celebrating all of them, all of community theater.
Right.
And so, yeah. Yeah, the Kimmy in a one-woman show down at, what was the name? The Soto Theater in for Twin City Theater Company. That show was the best show. That was the best performance. And I have no problem saying that acting was the best. It doesn't mean that anything happened in Stupid Effing Bird or in the Elephant's Graveyard, which was the best show I saw that year, and in the last 5 years, and in all these things. I mean, that was such a golden year of theater, and it was our first year doing the show. So damn COVID, and
yes, this was something special, and it's too bad it couldn't have been a yearly thing, that it couldn't grown into something more. But I think that it still did.
Yeah.
We still, the connections we made, the people who reached out to us, you know, there are people who know about different theater groups that never would have known they existed. There are people coming and auditioning in Champaign that never would have done that in the past, and vice versa to, you know, Danville, Bloomington, and Peoria. We've helped create a, there's people who know about coalescence that would probably never have heard of them before. Right. And so there's connections that we made, and we're so, so incredibly fortunate to have talked to all these amazing people and them spend half an hour with us at, to talk theater. And I'm so grateful for each and every person that's ever been on the show, each person who's ever reached out to us or we've reached out to them, everyone who's ever, you know, opened their doors for us to see a preview of a show, everybody who's, you know, waved to us when we were there in a full house. It's, and I don't know, it's just an amazing thing to have been able to do. And it's too bad that it couldn't have been longer, but most people don't get to do this.
It was a good run. Like, we're seniors. It's our fourth year. We've got to graduate.
Right.
And,
And we still support you all of you. And,
it's a really special thing to be involved in. I was going to say, so like, parents, you know, get your kids into theater, but you know, I didn't start. I didn't start until 2011 when I was like 40 something. And Jenny Grand gave me a chance in Little Prince to be the aviator. And that's when everything came from that. But you get to know so many great people and be part of something and learn how to work, learn how to be part of a team. And the theater's really special to participate in and to enjoy watching. And I'm really grateful to have had this opportunity. I'm glad for Gina and all the people at WEFT who have been like so wonderful to
WEFT
us.
Gina especially, but I mean, Gina, yeah, she's just amazing. She's been so, so on top of things, and she's been the person who has allowed us to last minute go, wait, we can't be in person, or yeah, we can be in person. And she's been so incredibly supportive. We love that WEFT has been our home for this long. It's a really special resource, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And glad that it was our home for as long as it could be.
All right. So, so this is the end of See You at the Show, and thank you.
This is the end of this version of See You at the Show, of the WEFT version of See You at the Show. We'll still keep our presence on Facebook, and we'll still keep our
A new round of digital coupons are now available. Download the My County Market app and check out all
about our archive shows. If they stay out, how long they stay out there. Because it would be nice to
turn the tables instead. You've taken lots of chances before.
See You at the Show with Eric Schacht and Linda Evans. I messed up my name. This is so sad. So sad that the appreciation completely outweighs the sadness. If ever
a time. Of course, this is not work.
No.
This is the perfect sentence. because when if you go back into those archives on WEFT, our archives, there's the very first show, right when I'm trying to play, the show must go on. The very first time.